There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Good afternoon, Mobile. I am not Sean Sullivan. I am John, Mr. Mobile Young, and I'll be filling in for Sean today from 12 until 2. Thank you for having me, and welcome to Midday Mobile, FM Talk Radio 106.5. The first thing I want to say is get to know Jesus Christ. He is closer now than he was yesterday, and you never know when you'll go to sleep. But I've been on Midday Mobile before several times with Sean, and you guys know I get right down to business, and I speak honestly and truthfully, so let's just get to it. Right now, Men United Against Violence, a group that I'm a member of, is focused on the savage murder of a young 29-year-old Miss Craig at Sage Park last Thursday. The brute beasts who are responsible for it have not been brought to justice, and that is a sad commentary on our society when there were hundreds of people at the park when it occurred. Someone saw something, someone knows something, and after all this time, someone has said something. But the reluctance of anyone to come forward with information makes me question our humanity. It's frustrating that anytime anyone is killed in Mobile, but when it is consistently black people, and this time a 29-year-old black woman, it touches a personal string with me, a personal chord. Because if some of you may not know, I too am an American who happens to be black. So we want to attract attention to Ms. Craig's demise because of the circumstances under which it occurred. She was there at a basketball game. Now, this is not a traditional 5-on-5 basketball game with a scorekeeper, a timer, and a referee. They were gambling. There's no information that I have that Ms. Craig was involved in gambling, but she was there as in a witness to the game, and she was killed. She's an innocent bystander. The bigger issue is that she was killed and no one is saying anything, but sub-issues are that teenage boys were participating in this game, some in high school, where hundreds, if not thousands of dollars are gambled on one-on-one games, that there are so many people there gambling that they can only play basketball from within the three-point line. And Ms. Craig was there, and someone began open firing into the crowd. And we're only fortunate that there were only two people shot, Ms. Craig and another gentleman was wounded, only by the grace of God that the casualty count was not higher. Mobile, this is not the type of city we should live in. A civilized society allows you to go to basketball games, movie theaters, bowling alleys, social events downtown, and local places to play video games and eat food without the fear of violence. We should not condition ourselves to think this is acceptable. And that's exactly what's happened. We've become conditioned to, when black people get together, that we are shocked. I believe someone posted on Facebook before Ms. Craig was killed that there are people there hanging out and there have been no problems. Well, what a low bar to set. What a low bar to set that we, when a group of black people get together, we are fortunate that no one is injured. But I can see why that idea exists. And when you think about other incidents recently, these quote unquote horse show in Grand Bay that had multiple incidents of fights. This is not how civilized societies exist, and definitely not how they continue existing. And if this 29-year-old woman, forget the 5-year-old that was shot or the 9-year-old killed last year or the 14-year-old killed 3 years ago, you know, if you weren't angry about those, be angry about this one. Be so disgusted and disappointed that these urban terrorists have no fear of shooting into crowds because they have no fear of anyone telling on them. They are comfortable terrorizing every social event that we attempt to have because they don't have any fear of retribution. They've intimidated us for fear of retribution by them. And that is not how we should function and operate. They should be more afraid of us because there are more law-abiding citizens than there are them. Once these brute beasts realize we will tell on you, testify on you, and put you in jail, and if you want to retaliate, we're going to fight back. That's the point we have to reach, because when you have psychopaths like these shooters, the only thing they understand is incarceration and force. Listen, I'm not asking you guys to go pull a death wish 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm not asking you to go buy a pistol and hunt people down, but I am asking you to have some backbone and realize if we maintain silence, then they win. If we don't act and cooperate with one another, they win. So now's the time, if not now, when, to act. Now, if the killer is listening, turn yourself in. If there are people who are listening that know who the killer is, call the MPD headquarters or the main line, and they'll put you in contact with Detective Nettles, Sergeant Nettles at Homicide. Or you could call in and text here, and I'll get the message information to him. But we have to do something now, Mobile. And I'm trying to encourage, Men United Against Violence has always tried to encourage men to do the right thing and lead families and set examples, because there isn't enough legislation to change it. Yeah, I'm all for it. I say build prisons 20 stories high and fill them up with violent offenders. I say don't give bonds to violent offenders. You know, if you shoot into an occupied dwelling or you shoot someone, you're in jail until you go to trial. I don't believe in bonds for violent robberies. I do not believe in bonds for people who use violence to commit crimes. So, yeah, let's put them in jail, but you're not going to legislate your way out of this. We have to change the culture. We have to change the mindset. This shooting at Sage Park, like I said, the only reason there weren't more people wounded is because God wanted us to be called to repentance and pay attention to this one lady that was killed. At what point in our society do we stop pointing fingers and then take responsibility? At what point, when, what does it take for us to say, I am tired of violence? I want to go to the mall and go to Aladdin's Castle. Well, not Aladdin's Castle, but go and sit in the food court and sit down and eat or walk around and get my steps in without fear of two urban terrorists shooting at each other from 50 yards away with their gun turned sideways with a Glock switch on it, and they hit everything but each other. I don't want my family afraid to walk in the park, Centennial Park or Municipal Park or anywhere else, without fear of someone molesting them or attacking them or shooting at them. I don't want the fear of when I'm eating crawfish at some of my favorite spots that a fight might break out and first knock over my crawfish, but then I might get shot in the process. This is not the Mobile I grew up in 1971 in Hillsdale. We had no fear of being shot. Even though we went to Tolmanville or Roger Williams or down the bay, we had no fear on DIP. What happened? How did we get here? Well, one way we got here is our reluctance as law-abiding citizens to excommunicate the non-law-abiding citizens. We have to turn our backs on family members and friends that aren't civilized and stop making excuses for it. We should not have to live in fear. I disagree with them gambling at that park. I disagree with any adult that was there financing it. I disagree with all those things. But that does not justify urban terrorists shooting into crowds, injuring people. Regardless of who they were shooting at or their reason for their willful, wanton, reckless behavior should outrage everyone. And I wonder if these alphabet organizations, I won't name them specifically, but has anybody, someone text me and tell me where their rally is so I can attend and scream for justice for Ms. Craig. Point to their website, link to me, where they're raising money for the Craig family. Someone tell me when you've seen protest outside the police department saying we want the killers found, or they've gone to the park scouring the neighborhoods with signs saying turn in the killer. So if they are, someone please tell me where they are so I can join them. I would be honored to be a part of it. But if they aren't, why should we give them any more attention? What have they earned to deserve our respect and our attention and our money? We've offered, Men United Against Violence has offered a $1,000 reward to information leading to the arrest and conviction of Ms. Craig. That doesn't sound like much, but that's what we have to offer. Hopefully it encourages other people to offer rewards. Because if it takes us offering money to get information to remove these brute beasts, then so be it. Because next time, Mobile, where will it be? Will it be a football game? Will it be an old woman's house that they shoot and blow up? Will they break into a house and kill someone's mother? We need to remove the brute beast, and we may have to remove them one by one, but if we unite, Mobile, we can remove them because it takes us to do it. And I'm only encouraging us all to stand up. This is Midday Mobile. We're about to go to break. Stick around, and Mr. Mobile will take your questions, emails, and calls. Thanks.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back. I'm Mr. Mobile filling in for Sean Sullivan. Yeah, we sound a lot alike, but he asked me to fill in. We've talked about it for some time, and I was excited to do it. And this is also an audition. I have a buddy set that he'd sponsor a radio show for me if I do well. So let's see how this goes. Right now, we're going to take some texts. And Dalton's going to read some out for us, and I'll respond to them. Keep them coming.
I will. Yeah, if I close my eyes, I can picture you being Sean Sullivan. So it's funny you say that. Peacock got us started this hour on the Mallory Piping text line. Thank you, sir, for your commitment to making Mobile safer. I have looked forward to you hosting. I always enjoy hearing you come on with Sean. It's from Peacock there.
Thank you so much, Peacock. And I'm not alone. I'm just the guy that's louder than everyone else. John Ford, Michael Timms, Bob Slaughter, Sean Sullivan, Wesley Davis. There are dozens of men that are working right along with us. It's just that my talent is to speak and speak loudly. So thank you. We are working as hard as we can.
Another text. This is from Jason. Says, John, how do we overcome the weak judges that continue to turn the criminals loose prematurely?
Both them out. It is just that simple. And this is a topic I wanted to address later. That's why you have to be more interested in local politics. You can't just sit and watch your favorite news show and get angry at what's going on in Washington, D.C. and not know who the district court judges, circuit court judges are here, or municipal court judges. You can't live in Mobile and not know who your council member representing your district or your county commissioner is or your state representative. These are the people that shape and mold your everyday life. And to get rid of weak, pathetic, crybaby judges, we have to pay attention to who is a judge and who's running and when the elections come up. That's the only way to get rid of them, people. Complaining about is not going to change anything. And I'm not endorsing anyone by any means. Don't ever take that. But I am saying my principle is if I don't like the outcome in my city, then it's my job to change it, either personally by speaking out against violence or electing strong leadership. That's what it comes down to. So if we have weak, pathetic judges that are not serving justice to tax-paying, law-abiding citizens, vote them out. Let's get somebody else. You know, what else you got?
Another text here. Joshua says, good opening, Officer John. So that's from Joshua there. Texter here, Mr. Mobile. I recently saw a comment on Facebook where a lady is blaming police because they rode by but did not take any enforcement action. It is my understanding that our local leaders and officials have allowed Sage Park to remain open past dark until 10 p.m. If that's the case, what is it that the police officers were supposed to do? It appears that they are being handcuffed by our local leaders.
Well, listen, don't blame someone for what an urban terrorist does. If that's what's more concerning to anyone than this 29-year-old black woman gunned down innocently, then you're going to miss every point I make, right? If you're talking about the police should have done, what about the urban terrorist not shooting? What about the brute beast not carrying guns? How about parents going there and telling their teenage boys, you will not participate in gambling? What about the preachers going up to the park and saying, we're going to spray holy water on this ground and pray for you? It cannot begin and end with police. What's your responsibility in that the police drove by? Why didn't you stop and tell those young men, you guys are walking down the wrong path? It takes all of us. And police are only a function in our society. They can't do everything. They can't be everywhere. We have to bring back shame in our and guilt and responsibility in our society. So anytime someone says that the police should have, why didn't the police, where were they? Ask yourself those same questions. If you don't think the park should open, everything should be open past dark. People should be more responsible in their behavior in parks after dark. We can't always legislate away responsibility and morals and values. We have to impose them. So while the police have a duty and obligation and responsibility, they're not the only ones. And I guess I may have taken this a little personally for reasons that other people may know, but we can't always point fingers at police, because the question is now that it has occurred, did that person on Facebook ask, why aren't people telling the police what happened? Why aren't they coming forward and telling us who these brute beasts are? Why aren't they naming the murderous thugs? Those are the questions that need to be asked. What else you got, Dalton?
Can I add a personal text in here? So I was thinking about that as well. And the post you mentioned earlier about, look at how many people are up here at the park. Everything's going swimmingly. And then the next day we have this shooting. We see headlines and say if there was a police presence just there the whole time, it would be a lot of folks there would feel like they're being picked on by police, right?
It's a double-edged sword. And that's the other part, is there was a shooting downtown on New Year's Day when there were 50 police officers within a block. Listen, what we're dealing with are psychopaths who have no compunction, no morals, and no remorse. They will attempt crimes in the most unrealistic situations. So, yes, if you had 50 police there, now what is your complaint? So, yes, if you had 50 police there and the urban terrorist said, I'm so high right now, I'm going to do it anyway. And then the police shoot and kill him. Now what are we dealing with? Then the alphabet organizations would show up. The police, oh, look, they're over-policing us. We shall overcome. Oh, where is that out-of-town, tie-tongue lawyer that everybody loves? Listen, let's put responsibility where it lies. It lies with the urban terrorists, brute beasts, murderous things that are terrorizing our entire city. And if you're dissatisfied with police action, you know what you got to do. Make a phone call. But don't sit on Facebook and think you can just say things without thinking about them first. Anonymity has given people, has made people lose the fear of getting punched in the mouth. That's what Mike Tyson said. You know, and I'm not telling anyone to find out a person and punch people in the mouth, but this is what we're dealing with. And even the shootings, some of the shootings we're dealing with starts on anti-social media, because these egos are so inflated and they're so sensitive and they have to show off their money. And if I can't let you say I live on Bird Street and you live on Nest Avenue, and if you say anything about me, I can't take it. I'm scared to catch a fair one with my fist, so I'm going to shoot by your mama's house and then you come by and shoot at my mama. Let's put the blame and responsibility where it lies. It starts in the family. It starts with mom and dad raising their children. Let's even go back before that. These children are being conceived in polluted wombs by a polluted seed, growing up in a polluted environment, so their brains don't form and grow naturally. They're devoid of hugs and kisses, of hand being coddled and have their hands held. They're not taught about controlling their emotions. They're not taught discipline. They're basically raising themselves in an environment with other people that have raised themselves. Then the only people they latch on to are drug dealers or a coach who teaches the athletes, this is your way out of the ghetto. He trains them to be hyper-violent and hyper-aggressive, never teaching him when to control it. So when he outgrows that coach, now he goes to the next level and he's still hyper-violent and hyper-aggressive. There's no dad there to teach him how to control his anger. He goes out into the world only knowing how to be hyper-violent, hyper-aggressive, and hyper-sexual. This is our second break. This is Mr. Mobile. I'm hosting Midday Mobile. Keep those text messages coming.
There's a bunch of them. 251-343-0106.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. I'm your host, Mr. Mobile. I'm filling in for Sean, the action man, Sullivan. We finished the last segment by reading some text messages and email, and I think we're going to read some more, Dalton.
Sure thing. And a quick traffic update. Vehicle fire, I-10 westbound just after Grand Bay Wilmer Road. Right lane is blocked, but things are backing up, according to Leanna. Vehicle fire, I-10 westbound just after Grand Bay Wilmer Road. To the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. Your texts for John Young, Mr. Mobile. Squirrel Vereen says, a problem with wild and free brute beasts is that so-called progressives, he puts in parentheses, quotes, have made even the worst ones out to be victims. We see it with the Carmelo Anthony case in Texas and with the support for terrorists and gang members facing deportation, plus the same mainstream media reporters who talk to you will turn around and help promote the anti-police pro-crook protests.
That has been an issue, and I say that's one of the lasting legacies of BLM. Their 10-year anniversary was last year, and I asked the question, what is their lasting legacy? And it is what you just named, softer on crimes, victimizing the offenders, polarizing the public and police, making police the biggest problem in some of these communities. It has nothing to do with law enforcement and government. It's culture. We have feral children running the streets like wild packs of animals because they've never been taught to subject to authority, to respect other people's space and property. So the lasting effect that now we're dealing with children 10 years ago who were 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and for the past decade, they've grown up not being held accountable. If they can't read and write and count, it's the school's fault. If they can't find a job, it's America's fault. If they shoot someone and rob someone, it's white people's fault. It's always someone else's fault. What we need to change is that culture that takes away responsibility, and we need to get back to family, education, employment, and discipline. Do not have children until you're married and can provide for them. At least graduate high school and be employed in a job to support your lifestyle and be disciplined to do that every day. That is the formula for success. Everyone is born poor, Dalton. Everyone is born without. Even children that are born into wealthy families don't have. But instead of talking to people about why they are poor, let's talk to them about how not to be poor. Let's have that conversation instead of setting children up for failure. Our spring campaign began thanks to Lamar Sines and Susan Stieber. It says your past does not dictate your future. How do we handicap so many children by reciting things to them like the BLM propaganda of your slavery and systemic racism, and it's all these other things, these problems we're having? And I want to take a side note right here. I'm speaking about black-on-black violence because 80% of our violent crimes in Mobile are committed by black men, with 90% of those victims being other black people. So I would not dare say, you Korean kids need to really stop shooting at the park, because they aren't shooting at the park. So that's the side note. But if we get back to having family values that change the culture in homes and neighborhoods, then we will change schools. We will change our city. So you're right. We've given ourselves up over raising our children over to government and alphabet organizations who must exist. Their existence depends on the next ism. Their financing comes from the next ism. That's why they don't. If black lives really mattered, then Miss Craig's life would be at the top of the list, or the other 11 people that have been killed in Mobile this year. So yeah, we've allowed them to take over, and I say allowed because, yeah, of course, the media is looking for the hottest story. Of course, government is going to fold and bend to whatever the national social idea is. But we, as law-abiding, God-fearing, lawful citizens, have to be just as loud as they are. That's when I speak as loudly as they speak. I don't have to use threats and name-calling, and you're not going to intimidate me. Let's just get that out of the way, too. But I don't have to use those tactics because I'm articulate and intelligent enough to explain my thoughts. If anyone disagrees, Dalton, please send in an email or a text message and tell me wherein our philosophy of family, education, employment, and discipline is wrong. That is the lasting long-term effect that we could have. You have another one?
We do have text. And I do want to remind people, although we are loading up the Mallory Piping text line at 251-343-0106, that works for the phone line as well. And whether you want to challenge, commiserate, question Mr. Mobile, John Young, Leanna would be happy to take your call and we'll get you right through. So back to the text line. Stuart says accountability will solve most of the problems here.
Right, and it will solve enough of the problems that we won't have as many problems. Responsibility in the family, placing it where it's supposed to be. Holding each other accountable. Men keep men in line. We tell each other, hey, man, you're fat. Hey, man, your breath stinks. Hey, why don't you go get a haircut? And that's what it takes. It takes all of us pointing out what we're doing wrong. We can't continue pretending our little girls dancing at Mardi Gras, popping their twop waffles for old perverted man to stare at. That's wrong. That's a degradation in society that we should not normalize. We should not normalize women in public wearing these girdles and Spanx, false advertising with push-up bras. And another thing, ladies, just because they make it in your size doesn't mean you should wear it. But back on topic, we can't continue justifying lewd and lascivious behavior as a means of freedom of expression. It's more than that when you're in society. When I'm out in public, I have a duty, responsibility, and obligation to be in a civilized manner. I should not go to a nice restaurant because I can afford it, be loud and obnoxious and rude. We have to get back to shame and being embarrassed by behavior and embarrassing people's behavior and turning our backs on things we disagree with. We don't always have to say, hey, look, lady, you shouldn't be wearing that in public. But don't stare at her. Don't justify her. When she walks in, turn your back to her. Same thing, ladies. If a guy my age walks in wearing braided dreadlocks down to his waist, you know, hey, don't ripped up jeans and a bedazzled belt and a Michael Kors belt made in China, turn your back on them. Don't participate in it. We have to stop going along with foolishness. We have to stop going along with it.
And that's a conversation you mentioned, the shame. Your buddy's right. Getting after you. I grew up with that, and I just don't know if this generation is, like you said, but I think being so anti-bullying culture, and they're right, there are really bad bullies, but that's how you kind of become an outcast in the real world if you don't have someone kind of helping to mold you into what is acceptable as a friend or a human being in your early years. You kind of grow up, and we see people that haven't been shamed end up being just total outcast and see things like that.
Right. When I grew up in the 80s and we had accountability, we had a group of friends with distinctive personalities, but each personality held the other one in check. We all liked girls and, you know, stealing dad's beer and skipping school. But when it was time to get our homework and graduate, it's, hey, look, we need to tighten up. If we had a buddy that we knew was going to college, look, don't come hang out with us. Go get your homework. You know, we'll see you when you finish. It's realizing that as long as I have to hold myself accountable, when I used to work out, he's Captain Baxby now, but we used to work out with each other and we would call each other fat just to keep each other mindful that you miss one day at a gym, it could turn into a week, could turn into a month. Now, there might be gentler ways to do it, but we're men, right? We can say these things to each other. And when we coddle our boys and we try to protect them from harm, from falling down, from heartbreak, from getting turned down on the basketball team, we set them up for failure because life isn't fair. It isn't equal. It isn't the same for everyone. But with that, imagine how much worse life is when you're stupid or you can't read or you can't control your emotions. We've made too many excuses for too long. I can't blame BLM for everything. But for the last 30 years, we've dumbed down education. And for the last 10 years, we've dumbed down society to the lowest element. We've lowered it down to the most violent people saying that it's not a riot, it's a protest. No, you're burning people's houses down. You're burning down your own houses. You're burning down your own businesses. Now you can't get insured. Now the businesses are gone. And now there are food deserts, and that's someone else's fault. No, we have to place blame where it should be, and all of us should be doing that.
You have loaded up the text line. We'll get to them one at a time. Don, 251-343-0106 if you want to join on the Mallory Piping text line. I love this text. Don says, good afternoon, John. I truly believe you are called by God to do what you are doing now. Your voice reminds me of thunder during a storm. You're lightning. You are lightning to these young men, warning them if they continue down the wrong path, their lives could possibly be over without the ability to make the right choice. Thank you, sir, for your service. That's from Don.
Thank you, Don. It's not just thunder. It's chocolate thunder. You asked Paul Check about that. I thank you for that. The Lord has sent me. I acknowledge him. Any good thing I say or do comes from God, and then I'll stick my hand up and mess it up. But I posted to Facebook the other day that I'm only presenting the message that's given to me. That's why I want to hear someone disagree with me. I want to hear what their disagreement is, because everyone has a message and a mission for this. My good friend Kent Quinney passed away unexpectedly on Tuesday, but I know he was saved. This is a call for repentance when I say these things. I know that I'm here to talk about Ms. Craig as a call for action. Let's not let her death go without action against these feral kids who roam the streets and all they do is get high and have sex and have other kids like them. It's time for us to call that behavior out. If not, what's going to happen in 20 years if we continue having all of our public areas shot up? What's going to happen if we stop cooperating with police? What's going to happen if we stopped electing strong leaders and strong judges and get in contact with our elected officials? What kind of Mobile could we possibly have? I remember a Mobile of going to parades downtown before they had barricades. And we didn't get run over. We were smart enough to get out of the way, or our parents would smack us upside the head and tell us to get out the street. What happened to that Mobile? Yeah, we've sold out for not hurting someone's feelings. We've sold out for pandering and propaganda from elected officials. We've given up because we're afraid of being called names. I tell you what, I had a buddy tell me yesterday, Wolverine, say, JY, I'd be called a racist if I said it. I said, yeah, that's probably true, but what have I been called? I've been called names. I lost one of my best friends that I came up through the ranks in Pritchard with 2 years ago for my stance. I was on 1819 News Radio, and he heard it, and he's told me I was being a sellout, a man I've known 30 years. So it does come with a cost. But the scripture says is, what am I willing to give up to gain Christ? I would be offending God if I didn't say this. I would be against his will. And then what happens to JY? What happens to Mr. Mobile if he stops saying this? Who then will say it? Who will say it the way I say it? Who will stand on these principles? I'll tell you a story. I almost gave up. It's probably a month ago, maybe a little longer. I was going to an assignment on duty in my car. And this group of black boys, probably 12, 13 years old, were walking. And I was turning off of Virginia Street onto north of Houston. And one of the boys bent over and gave me the double single finger salute. And I was shocked a little bit. So I rolled down the window and said, why'd you do that? And he says, oh, I thought you were my dad. I said, well, who is your dad that you would do that to? Oh, I said, listen, you kids don't need to draw this type of attention to yourself. You can make things bad for yourselves. So I went to Waffle House, ordered my cheesy egg plate with hash brown, 50 cent extra charge on the eggs, but it's Waffle House, so it's worth it. And these five kids came into the same Waffle House and sat in a corner, and they were very quiet and polite, and I just looked over at them, and I said, Lord, help these children. I prayed for them, but I finished up and left, and I drove. I was driving to my assignment. I said, Lord, I'm finished. I said, I'm not trying to help anyone anymore. Forget this. I'm tired of it. That was rude and unnecessary. I said, no one advocates for these young men's health as much as I do or as loudly as I do. No one does. And I get treated like that. I'm done. I'm not doing anything else, Lord. Don't tell me go anywhere else. I'm not going. I got out the car in that Shell station right there at Ann and Government Street to get a lanyard. And the guy sitting out there named CJ said, hey, I like what you're doing, man. Never seen this guy before in my life. And I responded, sir. He said, you keep doing what you're doing. I like what you're doing. You're doing it right. And that was a word of God to me that I couldn't stop, that he knew I was about to, and he said, I can't. And a church member actually worked there, and she came out and said, you can't stop. She said, I told her the story. She said, that was just the devil tempting you. That was a test allowed by God to see your response. You can't stop. So when I hear those things like God sent you to do this, I can testify that I have been. That's why I can speak so boldly. Eventually, I'll say something and step on somebody's toes and somebody will do whatever they try to do to me. But as long as they don't call me a liar, Dalton, I don't care.
Powerful stuff. We'll take a break. Coming back, texts from two Sams, two different Sams, Maximus, Supermom, Tony Ann, Dan, Motorman. We'll get to all these. John, and John, our own John Young, will be here for another hour plus, taking your text on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. That works as a phone line, too. Don't be scared. Jump on the line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile. This is Mr. Mobile, John Young, a.k.a. J.Y. We closed the segment out, taking some text messages, and Dalton, we're going to take some more, right?
We are. Sam T., tell it like it is, Mr. Mobile. That woman was someone's daughter or mother. We paid for cameras that weren't working again. Why can't people do their jobs? And then Sam T. says, keep up telling it like it is.
Well, thank you, guys, and I can't do anything else. I've tried not to say anything. I've never tried to lie to anyone. But this is the moment where we have to. We've reached a crucial point in our society that we have to decide what kind of mobile we will have. I want the mobile that I grew up in. I would like Aladdin's Castle to reopen. I know it won't. Micah said it won't. But I would love to go to the mall and spend $10 in quarters on video games without ever fearing someone robbing me or being shot. I'd love to go to Hillsdale Park and throw the football or play baseball with Sean and Karsten and my brother Marcus like we used to. Perhaps those days are over, but the morality that we had then, the sense of family and the pride that we carried and that our parents taught us well, and when we went in public, whether they were with us or not, we were well behaved. Look, I've waited 54 years. May 8th, I'll be 54. I've waited this long to be called sir. And children don't say yes, sir, or no, sir, yes, sir, no, ma'am, anymore. And I think that's part of it. They've lost respect for their elders. They now see us as equals. And when you don't have that respect for the wisdom that you'll come up and you know, it's insulting also the history of calling a black man uncle and a black woman auntie is when slavery ended. The Jim Crow era did not want black men and women called Mr. and Miss. So when you hear someone, it's degrading. It's an insult to call a man older than you that you're not related to unk or auntie. No, it's supposed to be Mr. and Miss. And I say these things, oh, J.Y., you're always talking about black people. I'm black. You know, I really ask this question. If I, as a black man, don't talk about these things that are affecting black people, who will? Who has a greater responsibility than me and other black men? Now, Men United Against Violence doesn't care about your ethnicity, your favorite football team, or who you vote for. These are men that care about the city of Mobile, and I've made some wonderful friends in 3 years. And we all love our city. We love our families. We want what's best for the city. And it's time for us to speak out and unite. It's time for us to pick people to lead us and encourage us that think like we do, who are not selfish or materialistic, who don't condone violence or make excuses for it, men who will stand on principle and pride and say that is wrong. That is wrong in public, in private, to a group of people or to one a person one-on-one. It's that time, Mobile. We've reached the point right now. Kids aren't marrying young enough anymore. We're not reproducing children that are being raised in good homes by two parents. It's just a failure all around, and it's affecting us all. So we have to bring back shame. We should not give a 13-year-old a baby shower. We should not ask a 18-year-old boy if he doesn't like girls because he doesn't have a child out of wedlock. We should not mock a child that likes math or science or who wants to paint butterflies. We should not make fun of children who in fact, we should make out. Listen. We should not let our boys walk around with not just long hair, but colored hair. They should dress like men. They should have haircuts like men. They should wear clothes like men. Pull your pants up, tuck your shirt in, put on a belt. learn how to shake a hand, learn how to fill out a job application. Let's get back to what made Mobile great. The greater Mobile area, let's get back to those principles. And I always begin with men because we are the backbone. The book said that we shall work by the sweat of our brow, neither the thorns and thistles of the land. We determine fate and future. We determine, we propose marriage. We create families. So let's get back to being men. Cut your hair, pull up your pants, talk like a man, look like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man. What you got?
We have a lot more. We also have a break on the way. Sam, Maximus, Supermom, Dan, Motorman, John, Dirt Digger, Gene, a lot of unnamed texters here as well. We'll get to all those in the next hour right after the news here. John Young, Mr. Mobile in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106. Not just the Mallory Piping text line. You can call in as well. We'd be happy to talk to you. I say we. John Young would be happy to talk to you right here on Midday Mobile.